Good morning, everybody, and those who have been sleeping for the last 20 minutes. My name is Alex White, and I am one of the pastors here on staff. I am the youth and family, young families pastor, and I would like to welcome everyone here this morning. It's great to have visitors, especially during something so critical like a parent and child dedication. My parents even made it the way down here, and it's kind of wonderful to have so many new faces that I don't even recognize, so this might be the only time you ever hear me talk. It better be good. Thanks, Chris. It has been about a year since the last time I had the opportunity to speak to you all. And it's always a privilege. You don't realize how much you actually get to fellowship with the Lord until you have to sit down and write one of these messages. And how much time you get to sit back and enjoy God's glory until you get to write one of these. You get something out of doing a study. You get something out of being in a small group. But when you actually have to prepare one of these, it's just a different thing altogether. And I really, I'm privileged that it was during a child dedication that I'm given the opportunity to speak. Because how awesome is it to have an opportunity to reflect on what it means to be a family of Christ? How awesome of an opportunity is it that we get to show how we love each other, how we love each other like a family, lifting each other up in the name of the Lord. But before I start my message, I just have to get this kind of out of the way. I need to thank Sean. Sean, you delivered a message 2 weeks ago, and you really set me up. You had no idea, but you were really setting me up to prepare everybody's hearts. You gave us what a true understanding of what love means, what God's love means to us. And you prepared our hearts for that. And how sometimes we're afraid to allow God in because we're not sure if he's going to like what he sees when he gets in our heart. So if you haven't listened to Sean's message yet, I encourage you, go to our website, check it out on the app. But Sean, you spoke some really great truth there. And I appreciate you for that. So let's just have one more time of prayer before we start. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share what you've laid on my heart for the last little while, God. Father, the fact that we sometimes wrestle with the idea of love is scary to us. Love seems so natural, so easy, but with the reality of it is, we do fight, God. We do fight against you. We do fight against our brothers and sisters, God. And so, Father God, I just pray that you open our hearts. You allow us to see with a Christ-like humility, Father. And Father God, I just thank you for, again, the opportunity to speak to so many that are willing to hear your word, God, because they're here. They're not here just out of luck, God. They're searching for something, God. And I pray that it is you that they are searching for. So, Father, I pray that my words be your words, Father, and that nothing I say is of me but of you. Father, I pray that you call us to do the hard things. You call us to do hard things, and that we are willing to walk out of our comfort zone and do those hard things. Father, and I pray that through this they see the hard things that I am doing, Father, because again, I pray that you just calm my nerves through this and my words be yours. Amen. So what I want to share with you today is, I'm going to be speaking to the Christians in the room right now. If you have chosen God and accepted him into your heart and you're allowing him to transform your heart, are you accepting the teachings of God's love? Are you truly accepting his teachings of love? Are you accepting that of his love, forgiveness, grace, and unity? Or are you going to allow pride, fear, judgment, anger, and indifference slip in and knock you off your feet and have you defeated before you even start? Today I'm not going to be diving into a history lesson. I'm not going to be giving a university-style lecture. I plan on giving some very simple truths. So the title of my message obviously is Wrestling with Love. Because loving someone can sometimes be like a battle. I'm not specifically talking about your love with your spouse or your children or your parents or your immediate family. I'm talking about loving the common man, everybody. We are to love everybody. Because God calls us to love all his people. Like it says in John 13, 34 to 35. So if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn there. And this is where we're going to start. I don't have many scripture today, but there is scripture throughout this message. I will be reading out of ESV. If you guys are more comfortable with what you have in your hand, there's NIV up there. I am an ESV kind of guy. So let's continue. On John 13, 34 to 35, it says, "A new command I give to you." Now I want you to remember, this command that's being given is being given by Jesus. He is talking to his disciples. So this is a command you should be taking very seriously. I mean, everything that's in the Bible you should be taking seriously, but this is Jesus teaching. "That you are to love one another just as I have loved you. You are also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another." Jesus is calling his disciples to love. I believe that's something we shouldn't take flippantly. When Jesus commands us to do something, I believe that we should do it. However, I don't want to say it's an easy task. Like I said earlier, Jesus didn't normally ask us to do things that were easy. One passage that comes to mind is denying yourself and picking up your cross daily and following him. That is not an easy task. Picking up your cross daily means that you are relinquishing yourself, denying yourself in a self-centered world filled with Instagram, Snapchat, and selfies, and that's just today's culture. But that was the truth back in the day when Jesus was around that he needed to say. So you can imagine what that culture was like that needed to hear that. Imagine today's culture. Like I said, grace, forgiveness, love, and unity are hard things to walk in, especially when it's with your common man. That's why I've likened it to being in a wrestling ring. You can almost see why it's like to fight to love someone. And what do you mean by fighting to love someone? I thought love was kind of one of those things. You fall in love and it's ooh and ah and kissy and huggy and lovey. Especially if you're around Steve, he likes to just hug everybody. And if you don't want to get in the hug line, you got to go down and around, but he makes it hard on you. Well, every time you step out in love, it's like you're stepping out with your emotions first. You're walking with your emotions in front of you. And when you walk that way, it can be very hurtful. I've said it many times that being a pastor is like being a cop. You counsel people. You're there in their time of need. You are loved and you are hated because when you are leading people, sometimes you're faced with making the hard decisions. So yes, there are similarities. However, there are a few differences. And some of the differences is I don't get to throw people around and arrest them anymore. On the other hand, I do get to shoot my youth. Okay, don't look at me like I'm crazy. Let me explain. Last Tuesday, we did go to Miramichi, and we had something that's called an airsoft war. And we just have like these automatic rifles that shoot little like 30 to 40-gram BBs, and if you're Nick Mundon, he uses the great Magnum 45 grams. And they're like on an automatic-style weapon, and you shoot each other, and it's kind of like paintball. Okay, you have every right to think I'm crazy. We're shooting. But we had fun. We had a blast. And even though I get to use those skills, that's not one of the main things I was going for here, but I'm getting back on track. Big major difference of being a pastor, when you're leading with more of your heart and emotions. As a pastor, you invest your heart into your ministry. And you start loving the people in your ministry. And when you start loving those people, you're loving God's people. And when you invest your heart into your ministry and you start loving God's people, people are messy. They come with quirks and problems. And then your heart breaks for that. But as a police officer, I stood back and put my emotions aside. I did what I had to do to get the job done. I didn't put my emotions before me, because if I put my emotions before me, then my job wasn't as effective. I want to give you an example of putting my emotions behind me. I worked a few years ago in a place called Stellarton, just outside of New Glasgow, for you guys needing to know the geographical location, on your way to Antigonish, that way there. So instead of loving this guy, I'm gonna give you a story. There's a guy, we arrested him, he went in the jail cell, and I noticed in the security camera he was scratching on the wall, and I wonder what he's doing. So I go back, and we missed an earring. He had an earring on him, and I said, give me the earring. No. Oh, you said no to me. No. This is not how it works. You're going to give me the earring. No. You're going to give me the earring, you're going to give it to me now. Say please. Whoa. That's not how this works, buddy. My pride and my emotions took a front seat to my emotions. It took a back seat. How I should have been loving him. My pride took that step forward. And I started to get Mr. Big Shot. Mr. Big Guy. So I said, well, if you're not giving it to me, we're going to come in there and we're going to take it. Said, come on. So I called my partner. I said, we got to go into the cell and we got to get something. He has it in there. So my partner, and I don't even know why this is coming to my mind. I could see him walking down. He's a big lug of a guy. And he had a Dairy Queen pop in his hand. And he said, what's up? I said, the guy has an earring and we need to take it out. It's danger. You can't have it. Okay. And as I'm talking, the guy in the cell says, I just asked him to say please. So the guy looked over and I said, we got to go get it. And my partner looked over at me and said, just hold on. Can I please have the earring? Bloop. In his hand. Thank you. I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. I couldn't believe I allowed my pride to step before me. And instead of loving this guy like God called me to, even though I arrested him, I was still to love him. He was no lesser than I than he was to anybody else. I allowed pride to win. I wrestled with pride and I allowed it to win. Because allowing pride to win was easier than to love him. So from that story, I'm going to be honest with you. I am naturally a quick-tempered person. So many of you say I may have an anger problem. You can ask my wife, who's not only beautiful and amazing, and obviously, you saw her up here, she's a wonderful mother of three. Sometimes she's a mother of four. Because sometimes I react poorly to situations. So yes, you can please pray for her. She is a good wife. She really needs it. Sometimes with me, you never know what you're getting. However, I am getting better at it. And I'm allowing God to teach me through my wife and other people. but I'm being really vulnerable with you, and you just got to stick with me here. Sometimes I get into situations and problems with when I deal with people, and I thank God she's my wife. Because as I'm sorting through the situations, I lose it to her. I don't lose it at her, but she gets to hear my anger. She hears my frustration. And I ignore that ever quiet voice of the Holy Spirit that Sean spoke about 2 weeks ago. And God uses the louder voice of my wife to correct the ship. But she's that calming voice, and she sees it from the other side, and she examines their heart, and she examines the source that it's coming from, and she allows me to hear that when I only want to wrestle with the source and say, what are you doing? Why? And you just, I am sure I am not the only one that acts like that. Am I right? Am I right? One person is, the rest of y'all are happy people. All right. So a lot of my frustration does come from my pride. Like it describes in 1 Timothy 3, in regarding the qualifications of an overseer, it's I must be above reproach. I must have self-control. I must be gentle. I must be all these things. As for my pride, that tells me I can't fail. Because if I'm failing, y'all see me as weak. Y'all see me as insufficient. So you can imagine how difficult it is for me to write this message without calling out my own faults and my own shortcomings. I hope this does speak to you, but in reality, I am writing this message for myself. The enemy wants me to think I need to present to you as if I am perfect, as if I have it all together. I need to wrestle with that every day. Because my fear is that I may be rejected through by feeling not that I'm not worthy or I am not in the right place to be called a pastor, to be called your pastor of this church. And I am so blessed to be in this position. But I have to fight with that. I have to fight with the enemy every day. So I want to ask the question again. How often is this the case that when you don't like to be wrong, and if someone points out your faults, they're jerks and don't deserve our love? Is it going to get an amen on that one? Anybody? They're jerks. They don't deserve our love. You all are some perfect people. I'm just saying. Pride can be a disease. Let's just be honest here. Pride can be a disease that blinds us. And I was searching for something to describe pride a little better. So this is going to be one of my first points. I could have rambled on for a lot longer. I'm going to try and be really good to you guys. And first one is pride. And the next one I'm going to talk about is unity. But I'm going to hit pride first. And there's a few symptoms of pride, but before we go into the symptoms, pride means a lot of things in one word. Pride tends to be love's greatest enemy. If you look across the ring, if pride was looking across the ring, it would see love and pride 9 times out of 10. So I found this article called 7 Subtle Symptoms of Pride, and I'm going to read a quote out of that by, her name is Fabienne Harford. So she goes on to describe pride as, pride will kill you forever. Pride is a sin most likely to keep you from crying out for a savior. Those who think they are well will not look for a doctor. As seriously dangerous as pride is, it is equally hard to spot. When it comes to diagnosing our hearts, those of us who have the disease of pride, have a challenging time identifying our sickness. Pride infects our eyesight, causing us to view ourselves through a lens that colors and distorts reality. Pride will paint even our ugliness and sin as beautiful and commendable. We can't conclude that we don't struggle with pride because we don't see pride in our hearts. Those comfortable moments that I pat myself on the back for how well I am doing are the moments that I should alarm myself the most. I need to reach for the glasses of Christ-like humility, remembering that nothing good dwells in my flesh, and search my heart for secret pride and its symptoms. So that's a pretty eye-opening moment, wouldn't you say? How secretive pride can be. So if you find yourself struggling with pride, you may be asking yourself, well, what does pride look like? Am I really struggling with pride? How can I find it? Well, Fabienne goes on to give seven symptoms, and I will give you what I feel are probably the most common. I picked about five. So first one is a harsh spirit. Those who have the sickness of pride in their hearts speak of others with contempt, irritation, frustration, or judgment. And pride is crouching inside or belittling of the struggles of others. So the next one is superficiality. Say that five times fast. When pride lives in our heart, we're far more concerned with others' perception of us. We deal with the sin that's on the surface. Everybody knows that I'm an angry person, so I better watch my temper. And we make peace with that secret sin. So we make peace with the sin that nobody sees. If you are an avid gambler, maybe, or you're a drunk, nobody sees it because I do it in my home. Nobody sees that. So I'm going to make peace with that because nobody sees that sin. Defensiveness. Defensiveness. I'm going to go and do the opposite because it was easier to explain. Those who stand in the strength of Christ's righteousness alone find a confident hiding place from the attacks of man and Satan alike. True humility is not knocked off balance and thrown into a defensive posture by challenge or rebuke, but instead continues doing good, entrusting the soul to our faithful Creator. So we're not worried about being challenged. We're not worried about, especially when you analyze the source. Are they coming in grace? Are they coming in love? Don't get me wrong. I've been challenged in the past year. I've been rebuked in the last year, but I challenged the source. I searched their heart. They were coming to me in love and grace. So as for defensiveness, I'm not saying I don't suffer from it, but in those instances, I was thankful for it. I was thankful for the correction. Desperate for attention. Pride is hungry for attention, respect, and worship in all its forms. Pride seeks the glory that comes from men and not God. Who's attention seekers here? Thank you, David. I got two of us. I like feeling good. I like when people say, good job, and pat you on the back. And then the last one is neglecting others. That's the last one I picked. There is a thrill that goes through me when people with power acknowledge me. We consciously or unconsciously pass over the weak or the inconvenient and the unattractive because they don't seem to offer us much. Maybe more of a struggle with pride than we thought. We must put on the glasses of Christ-like humility and examine your own heart. Is God going to like what he sees? Is God going to want to rest in your heart? Or are you fearful that he may not like what he sees? Is there something you are wrestling with right now? It became painfully obvious. Is it becoming painfully obvious that you're hurting? That you are wrestling with pride? I know I am. But I assure you, it's not too late. God has given us grace. Like it says in James 4, 6 to 8, if you want to turn there. But he has given more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So cleanse your hearts. Cleanse your heart from pride. God wants to dwell in us. Let's make his stay comfortable. I could keep going on pride, because let me tell you, I have a lot of examples, but I'm not. I'm starting to wind down here. I should have turned off Wi-Fi. Thanks, Rod. I could keep going, but pride is one of my major downfalls. When it comes to love, especially with men, and I can hear you guys, oh, what do you mean, pride? I'm a guy. I don't have pride. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, look, we're always talking about how big our truck is, how fast our car is, how big our fish is. Ask my three-year-old how big his fish was. It was taller than him. We went fishing last time. We went visiting my parents, and I took a video of it. Some of you might have saw it on Facebook. I said, Hasher, how big was your fish? This big. But there's something else that keeps us from loving one another. And that's failing to recognize that we are being called to be a family. As the old saying goes, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. So guess what, guys? You're stuck with me. We're family. But as it goes, the same for all of us. We are considered family, and we tend to love each other. But sometimes we find ourselves falling out of love. You say, I'm done with people, and they're too messy, and being with people only comes with hurt. That sounds awful. I have a question for you. Are you better than Jesus? Did he not go right for the pain of love? Here's your answer. Of course you're not. You're not better than him. Jesus was perfect in every single way. We will never compare to him, but isn't it our objective to be more like him every day? So someday that we can meet him in glory and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus gave his own life, so why can't we? God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. There is so much love in that passage. Why can't we learn to love? Why can't we learn to accept and forgive? If there is no unity in the body, how is it supposed to function properly? I'm going to read it of Ephesians 4, 1 to 7. You'd like to turn there. I'm running short, so I'm going to speed up, so listen quick. Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called, one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, for all who is over all and through all, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We are all members of one body. Paul writes against disunity in the body. Paul actually makes it quite clear that without unity in the body, we can't function properly. So how are we to love one another if we don't unify, accepting one another for the way that where they're at? There's so much I could talk about, but really I am running short on time. So trust me when I say I'm having difficulty to cut this down to size. There's so many more points I could have brought in and so many more things I could have said, but I may continue this some other time, Lord willing, if he allows me. But I'd like to close off with this. Are you allowing God to do a work in your heart? Are you allowing God to present you with his yoke? Or are you in his yoke and allowing him to do only so much work, and the rest of the time you're pushing the opposite way, saying, no, I am not comfortable with that. Stop it. Is your desire to be a part of the unity of the body of Christ? Or is your desire to work with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or is your desire to be the cancer? Is your desire to be the cancer in the body working against it? Are you allowing God to change your heart? Is he not the great healer? Can he not heal that cancer? Are you allowing God to work in a New Testament kind of love in your heart? I think you should look in the mirror and ask that question to yourself. Love starts with you. Because if you learn how to love, then we're going to be able to learn how to love one another. Or are you still making excuses? Are you still making those excuses? But they did this. They talked to me rudely. They didn't like how I did this. They. Have you looked in the mirror? Why are you holding on to things that hurt you? Why are you afraid to let go and allow God to work? Why are you stopping what God ordained for his people? Unity, grace, forgiveness, love. Why do you think we allow pride to get in the way of loving people? Like it says in John 8:44, talks about the father of lies and whatever you want to call him. You want to call him the devil, you want to call him Satan, you want to call him the angel of light, whatever you want to call him, whatever moniker you want to give him. He whispers lies into your ears. And he allows you to think that you were supposed to be better and further along than your brother and sister in Christ, or that you're not worthy of love from your brother and sister in Christ, let alone worthy of love of God. The enemy allows pride to sweep in your life and blind you from what God has for our family. It puts the wedge between its joints and keeps it from functioning properly. That's not what Jesus came for. He came so that way that we may have life, and that we may have it to the fullest. Jesus didn't come to defeat the enemy's lies. So you're asking yourself, Jesus came to defeat the enemy's lies. So ask yourself, what's keeping you from Jesus? I am specifically talking to the Christians in the room right now. What is keeping you from Jesus? You're probably saying to yourself, well, what do you mean? I love Jesus. I believe him with all my heart. Do you really? Are you willing to submit to him? Are you willing to look yourself in the mirror and wrestle with the way you love? I'm going to finish off with a quote from a book called Basic Christianity. It's by John Stott. And it really challenged us how we should wrestle with the way we see ourselves in the mirror and how God sees us. So it goes as follows. So after this, we'll wrap it up. So it goes as follows. We need to be forgiven and brought into friendship with an all-holy God, from whom our sins have separated us. We need to be set free from our selfishness and given strength to live up to our ideals. We need to learn to love one another, friend and enemy alike. This is the meaning of what we call salvation. This is what Christ came to win for us by his death and resurrection. So is basic Christianity the belief that Jesus, the Son of God, who came to be the Savior of the world? No. It's not even that. To accept the divine, that he is divine, to acknowledge our need of salvation and believe in the effectiveness of what he called for us are still not enough. Christianity is not just about what we believe, it's also about how we behave. Our intellectual belief may be beyond criticism, but we have to put our beliefs into practice. Well, what must we do? We must commit ourselves, heart and mind, soul and will, home and life, personally and unreservedly to Jesus Christ. We must humble ourselves before him. We must trust in him as our Savior and submit to him as our Lord, and then go on to take our place as loyal members of the church and responsible citizens in the community. The book itself says it all. It's basic Christianity. That's what it means. Humble yourself. Learn to love. Wrestle with your pride. Wrestle with your anger. Put that behind you and put your Christ-like glasses on. Examine your heart. So with that, let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, we just come humbled before you. We are broken people. And God, we do love. But sometimes it's hard. So Father, I pray that you soften our hearts. And you allow us to love the way you called us to love. And God, I appreciate the simple truths that you placed on my heart, Father. I know we all suffer with pride in a certain way. God, I pray that in your name that you defeat our pride. You defeat that sin. So, Father, I thank you again that you have given me these truths to speak. And God, you loved us so much. I pray that we learn to love the way you taught us to love, Father. I pray that we train ourselves to fight for that love. And Father, I pray that we learn to unify as a family, God. Lifting each other up in grace and in humility and forgiveness and in love. Father, I pray that we don't leave here today without understanding the full compass of your love. and that we are in all of that. We are in your love. We just need to accept it and allow it to affect our hearts. So, Father, I thank you for this day, and I pray over this whole time together, Father, and that as we go on to family camp, God, that we have an amazing time together. And Father, before we conclude here, I'd be remiss not to mention our brother who's now gone on to glory, Father. Father, I pray for the family of Royce, God, that you be with them. You strengthen them. You let their hearts be filled with love and joy, knowing that he has gone on to be with you, and you're embracing him in your loving and accepting arms right now. And Father, I pray that we see the love that he has left behind, the legacy that he has left behind, Father. And Father, I thank you for his presence that he has placed in my life, not only my life, but all those who have came in contact with him, Father. He will be an ever visible presence here, Father, and we just thank you for him. We thank you for his life here. And Father, we pray that we may someday see him in glory and feel his warm and embracing hug just as you have felt his, Father. And Father, I thank you for all these things. In your name we pray. Amen.